Blog Talk Radio.
The following is suitable for anybody who will listen. People, please tune in. Pick up your ears. All right, you're listening to I Can't Find You, But We Found Ourselves. I'm Talk Dude, and on the other side of this phone is the one only comedian Organic OK.
Yeah, this is comedian Organic OK. Everyone, I hope you're taking opportunity to appreciate yourself, appreciate, you know, what you've been overcoming, appreciating that. That is the beginning element to make your life exercise the greatness in you and your blessing of finding yourself. Now, this is one of the things, this show, you know, the elements that we're talking about, is not about being in the lobby trying to find a room of your disability. You know, you're mostly traveling and you don't have the accommodations that you're getting. And that's, you know, one of the things we're not really thinking about is how the collective of disability people have so many great passes that they are completing. But what's one of the things that disability people, we talked about this, Talk Dude, and disability is some of the most biased, cross-contaminated people you could ever meet.
Scary thought.
I mean, and you're just thinking like, oh, it's not bad enough I got to be disabled. Then I got a disabled coalition that's put together to be biased, prejudiced, and discriminate on another level. You're like, what is this? And people try to, like, almost like a fraternity. You know, a fraternity, brand new, and put this, they're trying to brand disability of something else on you that's not a disability. You're like, what is this? How many people have phobias of overcoming disability? Oh, no. Don't use those words. Don't use those words. Because it redefines what disability really means. If somebody truly lived their life and changed the narrative of what they've been labeled as, then disability don't have this kind of crutch to kind of be like a relative that used you when you get famous, that would never deal with you if you wasn't famous. And then now they're trying to be emotionally, you know, tie these things that you feel and try to make you feel guilty about those things. And you feel like, oh, this is another cross-contamination of my feeling that you're trying to use against me. And that's something that you say, wow, this is really polluted, because somebody that truly cares about me, they're not using it against me, the things that I truly care for. They start telling infrastructure of people that you know that, they try to tell people that you know these things to try to hinder where you're trying to move farther in life. And that is some of the time wasted that the next level of people that's truly trying to move forward have to wait on this kind of, you know, it's like when people are dealing with customs, this is disability customs, where people are making you go through even more things because the people before and behind you, what they went through. And it's not necessarily dealing with you and what your ability is of moving forward at another level. And you still have to go through this process. Not everyone is going through this, but a lot of unnecessary people are going through these things. This comedian, Organic OK, and you have been listening to, come on, talk to him.
I can't find you, but we found ourselves. Please, people, get in with the cause. We're here at 1-515-605-9709. That's 1-515-605-9709. Come on, let yourself be heard. Okay, now listen, I really hate political correctness and all that. I really do. I mean, it's almost fascist when they're coded, but you know, the term, look, handicapable, I know people who basically, handicapped people who hate that term, they hate that word, but you know what, it's supposed to apply to those who are really doing something. Those who are working so hard, people forget they're handicapped. You've seen them, haven't you? They make a position. And the truth is, Although there are too many of us who do really want special attention, special treatment. But the thing is, we want to not need it. But how do you do that?
Listen to this. Check this out. If the resources that y'all collectively utilizing that each other are, you know, being accommodated, if you're using the resources, now, if it's not a fair amount of resources completely that are being distributed across the board, that's a whole different conversation than someone that's getting more resources in a category that's not familiar with another category. Can you understand what I'm saying? So what I hear a lot of the time is people want those same resources, an over amount of assistance in all categories, so everybody that truly need it can have that actual, you know, it's kind of like it's like when people are pitting goods for the a needy time, they're trying to say, well, I want to use these services for these things, but if a person needs some today, an approach is to get more resources for those that need it, that not necessarily need it. Now, I mean, how can you look at those things? Because some people are looking at it. How can you, you know, undermine the bigger picture of people disabled and the resources that they want collectively? And you're, you know, when you're saying, well, we don't necessarily need all this, we just need this. And they feel like you're undermining disability, right? But how can we all look at disability when I know personally from dealing with different people in general is I'm aware of disability services in general. So imagine somebody not even aware about disability services, period. Imagine how much more opposition some people are dealing with multiple levels of disability and they not even getting accommodations once people tell them about it. And they try to go over to the disabilities, like, we partial this, we get partial that. They can't even get partial disability of any of the things that they need partially. Imagine if someone like yourself got multiple elements. You know, you got scoliosis, you got Tourette's, you got the Asperger elements, where these things collectively, you need to be channeled in these different things so that all these things are being properly balanced. Because when you go from one thing, oh, you're disabled, from what is the element of you? It's like saying, okay, I'm going to give you some tires in your car, give you the best engine you can have, but I'm not going to give you no brakes. How fast can you really drive with no brakes? Well, would you even drive your car with no brakes? See my point?
Oh, yeah, I see it. I get
it. What I'm saying is they're accommodating disability and making people with disability, like, wow. You know, because I was talking to somebody, and I was talking about they were stuttering. I asked them this question. I said, how does society treat you? You listen to what I'm saying. You have tics and things that you do, but here in this conversation, I ask a person how society treats you. What do you feel when the person say, I don't understand what you're saying? Don't you feel like that person is, you know, each person have a different individual experience, but if you understand the question of society, to you, when somebody say, well, how's society treating you, what does that mean to you from your experience?
Well, when I hear that, I think this person is just never going to get it. He's not one of them. Maybe he doesn't want to.
That's exactly what I'm saying. I told this person, I said, I'm dealing with a colleague that he have Tourette's, Asperger's, scoliosis, and I told him, and you have other things. And I said, he's telling me about disability. And I'm trying to introduce him because this guy stuttered. He stuttered really bad. So I'm trying to understand how he's interacting with society and how his resources that he possibly have or don't have, how these things happen. Because when we understand collectively what's going on, collectively we're cleaning and we are collectively helping the collective people, right? But when somebody is biased and prejudiced, they're not even looking at what you're possibly helping people. And if you're helping, they are using all these. Oh, it's like they're oblivious to understanding you because of your skin color. You know, like if somebody, like depending on who you act, people don't know what race you are, right? And based on how they see you, they're going to deal with you even worse on top of being disabled. And an average person that's saying, well, I guess it doesn't matter because I'm a human being. You can say you're a human being, but if most people treat you not because you're a human being disabled, because of your race, your these ethnicities, if they're treating you on those bases, that's more than what they're actually trying to give credit, right? So if this is the case, what are we truly doing besides trying to get a segregated, entitled position where I'm saying, oh, everybody's human, but everybody's human, how are you going to deal with everybody's human? How are you going to deal with disability as collective when there's so many different people that if you talk to some people that got all these certificates and pose knowing the experts of disability and you talk to them and you feel like they're an expert in not knowing you. It's like, it's like you're more of an expert in not knowing me more than expert in understanding where I'm coming from. Look at that, you deal with different positions and people in life. Have you noticed that they come across more like they know you than them actually knowing you?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Now let me get into it. Let me get in here. I've often felt like no one can understand me. I mean, I've been at times where basically trying to explain to some people, and they're just not getting it. They say, can you just brush it off? They say, just deal with it. Just go through it. Everyone doesn't care. They got their own problems. And the thing is, most people don't want to understand and know where you're coming from because it's kind of more work for them. So in the end...
But see, one of the things you got to understand what I'm saying. You're taking a tablecloth that's meant for a tablecloth, and you're putting the tablecloth in the refrigerator. You understand what that means? That means that you're using it for the wrong thing. What I'm saying to you is, this is how we can get to another level of understanding. If you come closer to the information I'm saying, instead of walking away where it's taking the conversation so far away, instead of focusing, highlighting on what the topic and what that experience is in that category. You know, when we start trying to understand truly the level of where we're going, you're going to tell more people understand what you're saying instead of just being intellectually just talking a lot of words and not understanding the strength that a person could be going through. And one of the things you're good at doing is you talk a lot of words, and it manifestly is going on people's head because they're not grasping what you're saying at all levels. Some people understand what you're saying, right? Mm-hmm. It's like reading a book title. You never read the book before. It's an interesting book. But for you to know the whole book, just by the title, it's a lot in that book. That book excites you, but you don't know enough about the book, right? What I'm saying to you is, if you took the time to explain what you're talking about to people, just get into it instead of skipping around, this happens.
What?
More people understand you overall. You know, if you try to educate somebody that don't know, you can't talk to them necessarily like they know everything. Right?
Oh, yeah.
A person that knows everything, they can miss things that they know, even though they know everything. That's my point.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying to you, when I ask you that question, can you give me in more depth of what that means? When I was asking you, I said, what does that mean to you about experts saying they know everything and people just trying to just pretty much let them throw you under the bus because of their title? And it's definitely things that you know and you experience that could take them to another level, but quite often, are they willing to take advice from you? No. A lot of times they're not. So it's your task to give somebody like you that didn't have information years ago, you take the time to find out all the information that you didn't know and more, and guess what happens?
It's 15 minutes after the hour here on the program. I can't find you, but we found ourselves. Please, call in. Let us know you're out there. Let us know you're hearing the message. We're here at 1-515-605-9709. That's 1-515-605-9709. But back to what you were saying.
Yeah, so when you're doing these things, you're re-educating, and you're giving them more detailed experience. The average person that directs, they're not talking from your point of view. And even somebody was an expert that they was reading and understanding you. What I'm saying to you is once you start understanding more about how you're translating information to somebody, stop talking to people like they numb, like they can't think. But at the same time, don't act like they know everything, right? And so what I'm saying to you, if you're trying to make it more personable, more people understand you, more people will understand how this operates, right? If you know, sometimes people can trick you out of learning because some people say, well, you can never trick me out of learning. Like, that's them, but that's not everybody, right? Some people can trick you out of learning something because how they make it so complex. And some, because of what their mind, how they are, they like that. They like you to make it complex. So that it challenges them. Everybody's not like that, right? So if that's the case, then we can't, forget those components. How can we make more improvement in areas that expertise are undermining the experience of someone that don't necessarily have that, right? It's definitely points of what you're talking about. That you're adding more than you recognize you're adding because you're just sitting there, not experiencing that, like watching a good movie. Well, the things you really enjoy, if you take that and add to things that you know and things you're learning, you are make the experience even more, experienced, right?
Yeah.
If someone took that time.
It is difficult to intertwine the best of both worlds. I've had a problem with that my whole life. It was hard to get two things that I liked together, intertwining them. How do you cocktail them? How do you mix them?
Well, that's the thing I'm telling you. I'm saying to you, you got to stop taking the approach of, hey, I don't have to manage you. Fuck you. Excuse my friends. Fuck you. I don't have to manage you. My Tourette's world, and if you don't remember me, fuck you, because I don't have to remember nothing. And I don't want necessarily membership because it gives me a bad experience. I'm talking from Tourette's talk. Everyone out there, I'm talking from Tourette's talk. And he doesn't cuss much as he used to cuss. But this is what he always got upset about me is not letting him cuss as much or rephrase that, suggesting him not to cuss, and he got annoyed by that. And I said, let's just think about this. If you're not, you say you don't want to cuss and be treated as, the Tourette's guy just cussing, and you are carrying the stereotype with your own decision. Now, if you can talk without cussing and talk and conversate and not think about it, why would you go out your way to bring cussing to the element? You know how long it took me to keep pushing this on you for you to not stop cussing? And stop wanting to put cussing in your material? It took a long time, right?
Yeah, you had to convince me because I wanted to hold on. I wanted my humor to be raw. You want it to be.
Yeah, but you realize we said to Rex, people say, okay, come on, ready. Come on, ready. Like, people want to exploit the Tourette's. They want to exploit the Tourette's. And there's a lot of people that don't know those components. They get annoyed by you having understanding and management of yourself. They be, I don't need all that. I'm just here to cuss it. Stop it. Let's hear the cussing. So, and I cussed. That's one of the things that I always revere. If we can afford to, not cussing, let's not do that. The one thing is I don't like either when people micromanage how I talk. You don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like it. How somebody try to undermine, like, well, how do you do a general comedy? Right? You don't need to understand that process. That's not your job to understand how I do my comedy. It's not your job to understand my intellect ability, my intellect, you know, preparation. That's not your job. It's not your job to undermine other comedians. That's why the comedian business is so messed up, because so many people undermine the comedian as a whole, right? That's the most cross-contaminating thing that people want to, you know, connect is, you know, how can we undermine comedians as a whole? How can we take comedy and not pay comedians and make comedians become this, you know, this lucrative crab in a bucket? Let everybody know, if a crab in a bucket, oh, you got the crab, you got some seafood, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this experience that people are trying to exploit, they utilize the comedians collective of them not being on the same page as their colleagues. And they utilize these things to work against the infrastructure of really what they truly want, but not in the matter of being exploited. They want the comedy aspect, but they don't necessarily want the aspect of someone not seeing the things that they're truly trying to present at a level where the creativity is there to be appreciated. Well, people are trying to select their way to take the ingredients of what comedy is, taking independent commercials, taking this, I pay the comedians for the actual commercials. Comedians give suggestions, people, writers writing down the material, hear comedians talk, hear people talk, and write down the material and put it together in a storyboard and then and try to give the credit to them going to school. And a lot of this stuff is not even from them going to school, how they got the material. You know, because they're so desperate into giving the, you know, the credit to the school and the degree, they're, in a sense, they're pleasurizing people's souls. And that's why comedy got two faces. Because it's your, hey, these are faces that people really are, more than the faces in the comedians are. It's like, wow, is this the face of comedians? Or is this the face of society and it's how they multiply? And they get really upset with comedians, so all those things, refrigerate those things, be able to digest the personalities that you're dealing with as you interact with people, your personal life, dealing with levels of people asking to tell stories, levels of stress, levels of bills, levels. If you're fortunate enough to be at the top or get past the lobby of trying to find what's the direction to be successful in the comedy business or be a writer in the comedy, it's elements. You know, and these things you undermine so many ways, right? But listen to this. I guess they thought I forgot. This is the part where I must bring up the beautiful woman, top dude. They thought I forgot about it. We know. They say power is in the tongue of words. You bring this to existence, right? So this is the thing. How many people in society have this kind of brainwashing element where a type of woman is the boogeyman, a boogie woman, right? And you you say, wow, it's this type of thing where you spend more time being abused by not attractive elements, where it's almost like you're going through war more by being on the other side and not being with the space that's successful and healthy than being with unsuccessful where people are devastated and losing all of the heritage of being, you know, beautiful because the decisions they made and laying down and picking partners and, you know, caring people and all these elements become, it's a chemical. It's cross-contaminated in so many different levels. And when you have these type of things, when it comes to picking a partner, when there's so many different people that you could pick from, And you're not necessarily getting what you pick from based on where you at. And when you are aligned to get what you need, it falls in place on the balance. And you, tough dude, there's no way that you should be limiting yourself even when a woman is attractive because you think because you got Tourette's. Oh, you got Asperger's. Oh, you got scoliosis. So that don't tie you to a pretty woman. So what in the elements of those things told you you couldn't get a pretty woman? Couldn't get an attractive woman? Oh, society have gave you so much freedom that you're hanging yourself with the freedom that you're supposed to be opening and wrapping up the elements of things that are not, like, trash. These things are now trash, and you're trying to make these things become something that is, it got an order to it. These things to be taken out. Those people's thought process, those things that people are truly or not, you know, it's a gift for them to have your company. And you're making it seem like you are not capable of designing your true character and your true ability to truly move through and become successful from your own desires. And seeing an attractive woman is something that you always desire. And so I'm saying, like, if you always wanted an attractive woman, why is that something that you don't have? Because it's truly what you want. You know, how many attractive women in this world? So you're telling me not one of them wants you? Is that logical? No, it's not. You don't think a woman that's your age, a woman that you truly, and you don't think that when you go to the grocery store and you look at fruit, when the fruit got insects on the fruit, is nasty? Is that a healthy piece of fruit?
Yeah. I get what you're saying. Now, I mean, thing is, how do you find what's ripe and what's fresh? You look for it, but you don't always go for the superficiality. Because one thing we do is we tend to generalize, tend to gloss over people too much. We want people to basically be, you want to be able to do the book by its cover. You want to be able to write everybody off. You want to be able to do that because it's more convenient.
On the top level, bro, and some of them, now they call this the most non-superficial people, if you're able to meet these people. This is natural. This is a natural thing. We see a child, kid, and they see a beautiful girl. What do you say? Why is she beautiful? Is that natural? If this is natural, why would you make people numb to see a beautiful woman?
People, you've been listening to I Can't Find You, but we found ourselves here with Talk Dude and with the one and only Organic OK. You can get all our shows off Blog Talk Radio on our site. Look it up. I Can't Find You, but we found ourselves. Now, remember, feel free to call in at some point and let us know what you think. Here at 1-515-605-9709. That's 1-515-605-9709. Okay, so, Organic, how do we wrap all this up?
This is where we wrap this up. The first thing we must understand in being yourself is enjoying yourself, enjoying the company that you truly reflect in the idea that your desires have been entertaining and you were being a part of the appreciation part. Once you appreciate the appreciation part, as you're appreciating the giving part, you are actually receiving gifts as you give. And that's the part of the appreciation that you're interacting as you see this woman, as you see this desire that is enhancing the actual words that you've been telling yourself. Now you're leasing these kind of natural elements of harvest. This is Comedian Organic OK, and you've been listening to We Couldn't Find You, We Find Ourselves.
Yes. All right. Thank you for listening. Thank you, and good night.